This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, July 15th, brought to you by Watkinson Millard and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. South Carolina prepares to fill Graham's seat. ESA harm lawsuit filed. USITC nominees advance. The unexpected passing of Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is raising the odds of South Carolina turning competitive this November. Graham, in the Senate since 2003, had been strongly favored to win his bid for re-election this fall. The race remains rated, quote, likely Republican, though Democratic contender Ann Andrews, a physician, quote, gives Democrats a credible nominee. That according to the nonpartisan Inside Elections with Nathan L. Gonzalez. Trump's low job approval rating, creating an environment where Republican seats are at risk in places that aren't competitive under normal circumstances, Gonzalez says. The last time South Carolina elected a Democrat was 1998. In the last term of Fritz Hollings, who was first elected in 1966. Darlene Graham, Lindsey Graham's younger sister, was sworn in yesterday as his interim replacement. The window for candidates to file paperwork to run in a new Republican primary opens July 21st, Gonzalez notes, citing state law. It closes July 28th. A special primary is set to be held August 11th with an August 25th runoff if needed. Possible contenders include Graham herself, GOP Representative Ralph Norman, and Nancy Mace, former Governor Nikki Haley, and Lindsey Graham's primary opponent, Mark Lynch. One lawsuit was filed and another threatened yesterday over the Trump administration rescissions of the definition of, quote, harm in the Endangered Species Act. The Center for Biological Diversity, Wild Earth Guardians, and Friends of the Wild Swan are among the plaintiffs in the suit filed in the Western District of Washington. It challenges the Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service decision last week to finalize a rule narrowing the prohibition against, quote, taking endangered species by removing regulatory language allowing wildlife agencies to consider how species are harmed by habitat destruction. The groups claim the way the rule change was done violates the Administrative Procedure Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, and the ESA. In the meantime, December Defenders of Wildlife warned FWS and NMFS leaders that it plans to sue them over the same rule, which rescinded the definition of harm in previous ESA regulations. In a letter, Defenders of Wildlife senior attorneys Erica Pinkak and Jane Davenport provide notice of their intent to sue the agencies, alleging they failed to perform an interagency consultation on the rule change under Section 7 of ESA. Take note, the attorneys argue in the letter that due to the rescission, FWS will no longer need to consider logging in its biological opinion on northern spotted owls, and that the Forest Service, quote, will not be able to rely on that opinion to satisfy obligations to ensure the species is properly protected when considering changes to its Northwest Forest Plan. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The Senate Finance Committee advancing a slate of nominees to serve as members of the International Trade Commission. The panel advanced the nominations of Brett Doyle, 21-6, David Foley, Jr., 21-6, Peter Anthony Pappas, 21-6, Bartholomew Tannhauser, 27-0, and Samuel Nedgatu, 25-2. The International Trade Commission's work to investigate unfair trade practices and provide Congress and the administration with quality analysis of trade issues is critical, and a full slate of commissioners will help accomplish those missions, Senate Finance Committee Chair Mike Crapo of Idaho said in a statement. I am confident in each nominee's ability to serve America's best interests and look forward to their confirmation by the full Senate. U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer Monday sent a letter to U.S. International Trade Commission Chairman David Johansen urging the commission to launch an investigation to determine if lamb imports into the U.S. are damaging the domestic industry. U.S. import statistics indicate that lamb meat imports, which are sourced in major quantities from multiple countries, have increased in recent years. Available information suggests that imports resulted in domestic industry lost sales, revenues, and market share as imported lamb meat significantly undersold the domestic-like product, Greer said in the letter. The move was applauded by the Ranchers Cattlemen Action Legal Fund, United Stock Growers of America. RCAF said in a press release that more than 70% of lamb consumed is imported and domestic production has dropped more than 60%. Representatives Jim McGovern of Massachusetts and Greg Cesar of Texas have introduced a bill that they say would curb, quote, corporate abuse of seed patents. The Fair Seed for Farmers Act is aimed at breaking up, quote, big ag, protecting farmers, lowering grocery costs, and strengthening the U.S. food system, the lawmakers said in a joint statement. A number of conglomerates are using patent claims and threats of lawsuits to control what farmers plant and force them to buy expensive products, in turn driving up costs, they said. It's wrong, and our bill is about starting to change the broken status quo by rebuilding America's food system from the ground up, McGovern said. The abuse of seed patents is putting family farms out of business, Cesar said. USDA has signed an agreement in principle with Catholic Relief Services, an international aid organization, to provide up to $235 million in food and nutrition assistance to Sudan and Ethiopia through the Food for Peace program. Food for Peace previously was administered through the U.S. Agency for International Development. USDA took over the program after USAID was dismantled at the start of President Donald Trump's second term. American farmers feed, fuel, and clothe the world, and under President Trump's leadership, we're utilizing that bounty to serve those in need while ensuring that the benefits of U.S. food aid flow back to America's hardworking farmers, ranchers, and producers that make this assistance possible, USDA Deputy Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs Michelle Beckering said in a press release. USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service said commodities will be 100% U.S. origin. The scale of humanitarian need in Sudan and Ethiopia demands sustained national and international commitment, and strong partnerships are essential to meeting these needs, Sean Callahan, the president and CEO of CRS, said in a press release. With USDA support, CRS and our partners can continue providing critical assistance to people whose lives and livelihoods have been upended by crisis. Here's today's final word. The unknown is when McConnell gets back, and that's very necessary to have a Republican majority on the Appropriations Committee, and I don't have an answer on that. But by the way, the Appropriations Committee isn't the only place to put E15. That's Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa on the outlook for getting E15 into an appropriations bill with Senator Mitch McConnell out due to health issues. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, July 15th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chuck Nally.